Zechariah chapter 8. What an exciting idea to come back from a 70-year captivity to a land that's been decimated, robbed, pillaged, and to come back to that land and show the next generation what it was like. To come back and be able to tell your family, this is where the temple was, and we're going to build it again. And to then go about and lay the foundation. Remember that some of these stones that stand there today are part of the original. I mean, when Solomon did it. And so while they flattened it out and did all they could to destroy it, there were still original parts left. And so these have returned. They can see exactly where it was. They're able to go to the same place and get the same types of rocks, the Israel or Jerusalem stone that they use, and to rebuild the walls and the temple itself, and to be able to put it all back just like it was. And that was the goal, and that was the mission. Now, did it come without heartache? No, it didn't. Nothing worth doing is easy, is it? And so, in fact, I took the kids fishing yesterday. I think it's the first time some of them ever been fishing, but it wasn't long. Brother Ronnie, they said, let's move and go where the fish are. Yeah, anybody ever done that to you, Brother Bill? Let's go where the fish are. And I said, that's not how it works. And it wasn't long after that, Ben pulled up a bass right out of the water. And then, of course, they all had to go right to the back of the boat and fish right there. But you know what? If it was easy, it wouldn't be as fun, would it? You got to sit there and spit in the water and tell stories for the fish to bite your hook and sing that little jingle, right? Fishy, fishy in the brook, right? So you got to do all those things to catch fish. It's not easy. Nothing easy is ever worth doing. But they looked at it and they said, this is what we're going to do. And then, of course, you had the enemy come about and mock them and try to stop them and get the law involved and tell them they didn't have a permit and they got to check with the EPA and all that kind of stuff and try to do everything they could to squash it. I don't know if they made them build a sidewalk out front that goes to nowhere, but it's the same kind of deal. And everybody at every turn tried to stop the rebuilding of the city and the temple. And we pick up in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Now this is a reminder that the work we have takes our effort. And people expect to come to church and have Sunday school and then preaching and worship and prayer time. And in that, they expect that they're going to grow. It takes more than that. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray when we're not at church. We need to spend some time with God outside of these walls. I love coming to church, and it's important for our growth, but it's not all we need. We need more if we're going to grow. And so it takes our energy. He said, let your hands be strong. Get involved. Exercise to it. Commit to it. Be devoted to it. Put your whole self into it. Be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. He said, guys, remember why we're here. Remember our cause. Remember, of course, some of them didn't know the former glory, but they'd heard about it. They heard about how marvelous it was and what a sight it was and how the strangers would come from thousands of miles to see it and how that God meets there with His people. And they said, let's do it, let's build it. But you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have courage and you're going to have to be committed. You know, as we look out at this year, and it's just another day, right? It's another day. But it kind of gives us a point at which we can measure some things, look back and look forward and say, here's what I hope we can do this year. And I hope that we can look back on 22 and say, my, what a year. Boy, we overcame challenges and we did great things and souls were saved and people got baptized and people were added to the church and we had to knock out a wall and add some more seats and we had to add some more programs. And wouldn't that be great? Yeah, but it's going to take effort. It's going to take some strength and it's going to take courage because let's face it, a church can't grow without some growing pains. Some of you have been here longer than I was. And you know that we've had growing pains. And some of them were big pains. But we keep growing. We're going to have to go through those challenges. So the question is it worth it? We going to have a church with just us four and no more? Just be satisfied? I don't. I want people to get saved. I want people to come to know the Lord. I want to teach people the gospel and the whole word of God, the whole counsel of God. That's what we're here for. So it says that the temple might be built. The foundation was laid. But you see, as they returned, they had to be inspired and reminded about the mission. Why? Because it was not an overnight success. It was not without controversy. It was not without adversaries. It was not without doubts and questions and challenges. And as the church grows, those things are going to happen. But we can't quit. We can't give in. We can't give up. We can't get too tired to keep going. We can't lose interest. You see, the goal is those individuals, those people that get saved. So encouraging it was a few weeks ago to have three children come and say, I want to get baptized. Isn't that great? We had some sickness and stuff that's delayed it for now. But when the time comes, here directly, hopefully they'll get baptized. Some of them have been saved a long time, but just never got around to baptism. I'm thankful for Sunday school teachers and a youth pastor that teaches the kids so that they understand, hey, I need to get baptized. I'm also thankful for Sunday school teachers and a youth pastor that teaches that baptism won't get you to heaven. I remember one of those kids got saved and I said, you're going to get baptized? And he looked at me. He said, you don't have to get baptized to be saved. You got me. You're right. Well, we're teaching them right. But now he's finally come around. He's ready to get baptized. That's good. But that's just three. There's so many people out there that need Jesus. And we can't lose interest in their eternity. We can't lose interest in them changing their lives, finding God, and getting on fire for the Lord. Verse 10, before those days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For, this is God speaking, I set all men, everyone against his neighbor. Look at what God says. He says, you remember how it was? See, now there's work. Now there's a lot of work to be done. Now there's much to do. Don't forget, all of this was being injected into their economy. Somebody else was paying for it. But they were paying them to build the wall. They were paying them to build the wall and to build the temple and to rebuild the city. And all of that was coming from somewhere else. So their economy just turned around. Before that, remember, he says there was no, you couldn't even hire anybody. You couldn't find a job. You couldn't even hire out your mule or your ox. There was no work. And not just that, but have you ever noticed that when there's no work and the economy's down, people are cranky? That's not what he says here, but that's what he says in the Pahokee translation. People were cranky. There was no peace going out or coming in. Man, everybody was unhappy. Everybody was miserable. And God said, I made it that way. I wanted y'all to see what misery was about. I wanted you to experience what it was. I don't know about you, but once I've seen it, I don't want any more of it. I don't like to be cranky, and I don't like to be around cranky. And yet, that's what it was. He says, remember how it was? Remember? You appreciate what it used to be? Verse 12, he says, the seed shall be prosperous. He says in verse 11, I won't be to you like I was to them. I was making a point. But the seed shall be prosperous. The vine shall give her fruit. The ground shall give her increase. The heaven shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Now think about this. Everybody they took out of Israel and took to Babylon were the best and the brightest. And what was left? The derelicts. And so now they start bringing people back and there's a remnant. But don't you imagine that there were some people who had established themselves in Babylon over 70 years and they had their business and they had their home and they had their family and they said, I hear that y'all are going back to Jerusalem. Oh yeah, we're going back to the homeland. And you know what they probably said? Enjoy yourself. I'm satisfied here. I'm established here. And I'm not going back. Sure, there were many people that made that decision. But those that came back along with those who were never taken away are now left with this engineering feat of rebuilding the city of Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple of God. And God says the vines will grow. The trees will give fruit. The rain and the dew will fall from heaven. And we're going to restore this land to its beauty. Verse 13, it shall come to pass, as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, let your hands be strong. He says, guys, we're going to turn this around. We're going to turn this around. No matter what your reputation is, no matter what your reputation was, God says, I've got a plan and we're going to turn this around. And no matter what it's like today, think back of how it used to be and understand that we're going to make it different than that. We're going to make it better. We're going to make it new. He's trying to give them that one thing that we all need. Hope. Hope. It's easy, as we talked about the other night, as they were coming around Mount Seir and they kept going, and God said, stop, you need to go north. Quit turning around the mountain. Turn northward. They were just going to keep following it around. He says, it's time to move forward. Move northward. And it's easy to get in that cycle and just repeat and repeat and repeat. And I don't know about you, but that gets old. You get tired and weary from that. God says, no, I'm going to show you things you've never seen. I'm going to bring back the former glory. And you shall see it. But you've got to be part of it. Let your hands be strong. You've got to participate in your success. You've got to participate in the glory that God wants to bring back. Guys, if Capitol Heights Baptist Church is going to do great things, we've all got to be part of it. We've all got to be part. That means you got to bring your friends and neighbors, and I got to bring my friends and neighbors, and we got to be a blessing to strangers. We've all got to do it. God's not just going to make it happen. Why would God just make it happen? If we don't care, we got to care. We got to be interested. We got to show God we're interested by putting in the effort ourselves. He's going to turn them from a curse to a blessing. But it takes diligence and effort and persistence and even tenacity. Because I hear this, so I ask people to come to church all the time and nobody ever comes. Tenacity. You got to stick with it. Got to keep doing it. Verse 16. These are the things. So he even gave them the formula. He said, you want it to be great? You want me to bring everything that I've just promised you? He said, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. He said, y'all got to be honest. Remember how miserable they all were? He said, start being honest with each other. Start telling the truth. And you got to execute the judgment of truth. And peace in your gates. You got to take control of this. You've all got to be part of the solution. You've all got to participate. By being honest and being peaceful and by being deliberate in your judgment. Make sure it's honest judgment. Not preferential treatment, but honest judgment. Look at verse 17. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. Think about that. We go by a house and the grass is tall and maybe the newspaper, they still do that some places, piled up. We say, well, they don't even care about their yard. They don't take care of their place. But do we stop and ask them, is everything okay? Is there some way we can help you? Or we just suspect poorly of them. We just judge them and say they don't care. But maybe it's not that they don't care. Maybe it's that they're not able. And maybe it's that they need help. Not being suspicious of our neighbors. A lot of traffic coming in and out. Do we think, well, there's somebody over there probably... Maybe their friends are coming to visit her. We say, well, they're probably running drugs. What's our suspicion? We have suspicion. He said, don't suspect your neighbor. Don't think evil about your neighbor. Think well of your neighbor. And then he says, and love no false oath. Now, what does that mean? That means that you make a deal that you know you're not going to keep. A false oath is when you say you'll do it, but you know right then you're not going to even try. But you say you do. What does that cause? It causes problems. So when you say you're going to do it, do it. Don't love a false oath. Don't hold to lies. No malice, no lies, no suspicion. For all these are things that I hate. He said, we're trying to fix this place. You got to start doing the right thing. We've all got to do our part where we are. God says, I can turn it around. I can make it better. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 20, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. He said, here are strangers getting together, making plans together to do what? To come pray. To come before God. To seek God's face. To seek God's answers. To seek hope. Why? Because they see it in us, because they see it in them. You ever seen somebody and said, hey, I need what they've got. I need to do what they're doing. See somebody that's losing weight and you say, hey, what are you doing? What's the secret? See somebody who looks healthier and they're doing well and you say, what's the secret? Or they've been through some kind of a disease or something and they've recovered and you say, hey, what did you do? Why? Because you want their hope. You want their secrets. It's no secret, is it? But they don't know it. And so we've got to do the right thing. And by doing the right thing and by God's favor, the world, strangers, will get together and say, let's go. Verse 22, yea, many people, strong nations, shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. People who never thought they needed us. People who had the idea that religion and Christianity and church is a crutch. We'll see what God is doing in our lives. And they'll say, hey, let's go. Let's go see what they're doing. Let's go learn what they know. Verse 23. Finally. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass. 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Hey, when they start hearing about your prayers being answered, they're going to say, tell me the secret. When they start seeing that God is at work in us, they're going to say, show me the way. And they'll get together and conspire together to come find out what's the formula they're using. You know, when I was working with young people, I'd have people call and say, what are y'all doing? I said, we teach the Bible. Wow, that's it. What I did 30 years ago as a youth minister is exactly the same thing I'm doing today. Teach the Bible, love the children, encourage them. That's it. That's the secret. There's no secret. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. May that be our testimony this week and this year. Let's pray. God, we ask that you will guide us into our business session, that all things done will be to your honor and your glory, that you will take our efforts and make them productive and beneficial, not only for us, not only for your glory, but to those who are around us, that souls will be saved and that lives will be changed. God, we pray for our country, especially those on the wall around the world tonight and those on the front lines here at home. God, for our church, each and every one that's a part of our church, the members, the friends, the extended families, God, we pray that you'll draw us all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.